Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
Welcome to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser, and you know, so happy to be with everyone today. It's a special day, and there's a lot of remembrance going on media all over the country this whole week about the anniversary of JFK's passing. And I was living in the Washington D.C. area when that happened, and it was a moment I think we all remember where we were and what we were doing, and his life and what he attempted to do in his lifetime and work towards peace and promote social justice causes, you know, I think impacts many generations. And one thing we learned is that, you know, he persevered and he kept going despite a lot of pain and a lot of challenges. And you know, my guest today, Denise Hart, is following those footsteps. She has overcome quite a bit of obstacles in her life. She has persevered, and she is going to be speaking with us about her new book called Your Daily Mindset Mojo, 365 Power Thoughts to Help Change Your Mindset and Transform Your Life. And I love that. And welcome to the show, Denise. Are you with us?
Hey, yes, I am, Brenda. How are you doing?
I'm great, and it's so nice to talk with you again. We met about 5 months ago, I guess it was, in San Diego with the wonderful Lisa Nichols, and that weekend definitely changed my life, being there and meeting women like yourself and spending three solid days with Lisa. And I know you've had the benefit of more intense time with her and her team, and we'll be talking about that and lessons you've learned from Lisa and how she's helped you get your business to where it is today. So a shout out to all the Lisa Nichols fans.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, that was a whirlwind 3 days of community, knowledge, transformation. You know, we could go on and on. And one of the joys was definitely meeting power-filled women like you who are committed to sharing your purpose in the world and joining with complementary colleagues so that we can continue our work together.
And I love that. That is it's a message that Lisa really hit home, that I think a lot of us who, you know, you and I both were raised by single mothers, and, you know, we became self-reliant at an early age, but then later in life we realized that success is only when we team up with like-minded individuals and surround ourselves with, like you said, with powerful women that all want to achieve more and be more and have similar values. So it's awesome to reconnect with you. And before we get talking about the book and all the exciting things you're doing these days, and I'm sure a lot has changed even since we talked in May, I want to start back at the beginning, your early childhood and being raised in Omaha. And, you know, what was that like? raised with limited circumstances, under limited resources.
It was limited resources. Now that I have been able to really create my life in a different iteration, I share part of my message is what I realized later in life was that I had to move from a welfare identity to a worth and wealth reality. And I say that, Brenda, because limited resources is certainly a politically correct way to describe the fact that at that time our family structure had broken down. My father was in the home and he moved out. Subsequently, my mother, there were three of us, and she ended up on welfare. And we really had a make-do kind of a life, and we did that. We made do, and we sought the support of services that were available to families like us. And, sometimes I didn't necessarily know we were that poor, except for, how when you get to school and you're in the lunch line for the kids who, nowadays I think it's different, but, you knew that you filled out the paper because you needed to have lunch at school, those kinds of things. And so I didn't really have a lot of examples in my immediate world, Brenda, that said to me anything is possible, because we were really living day to day. And here's a really good example of that. I just, on Tuesday of this week, I met with a new financial planner, and he asked me what was the interest rate. In, I think it was 1981, and I think at that time I was 16. And I looked at him, and I said to him, I said, his name's Al. I said, Al, I said, I grew up in a very poor family. Nobody cared what the interest rate was in 1981. We were just trying to survive from week to week. And we had a good laugh about that, Brenda, because I could now say, here I am actually sitting with a financial advisor because I need to create a better tax strategy in truth, in all transparency. And just would you look at how significantly, how dramatically my life has changed and what I have been able to create and now pass on to my son as generational wealth and generational opportunity is so radically different.
I love that. And even that, the concept of generational wealth. And for women, so many women have either relied on their husband's income or they've never really owned and thought about their own wealth, how to manage it and how to pass it on and how to make, smart choices in life, to educate themselves on that. And came a lot out of your journey. I just love that you're so forthright in your bio and in your speaking about overcoming serious debt, mainly because of college and student loans that had really crippled you to the point of, dropping out of school and after getting all these scholarships and going on to some really prestigious schools like Howard University in Washington, D.C. I'm very familiar with that school, to learning how to live without credit cards and without debt hanging over your head. Can we talk about that phase of your life? Because so many people are caught up with debt in this culture. We're a credit card culture and everybody uses credit cards without thinking. How did you get there with incurring it? And then how did you get out of that hole?
Absolutely. I love the title of your show, Alive to Thrive. And I know 100% that if you have debt, and I'm talking a heavy amount of debt, and heavy is relative, you know, to the person, there's no way that you're thriving in your life. It's just, it's almost impossible. So what happened for me was later in life, you know, I got into my late 20s and I realized I wanted a college education. Again, I had come from a, you know, a fingerprint from my family that, yes, college was okay, yes, that's out there, but you just need to get a job. I mean, really, honestly, get some employment. We need income coming into the family. And so initially that's what I did. You know, I went to college. I was like, oh, this is lackluster. I don't know what I'm doing, really. Is this for me? So I just did what everyone else in my family did. So late in my 20s, I said, okay, I'm going to go to college. And I was very creative always, really sort of an anomaly in my family. So I said, I'm going to do something nobody in my family has ever done. I'm going to study theater, and I'm going to study visual arts, which were, you know, combined. So I did that in my late 20s, but I had, you know, to get debt to do that. And honestly, initially when I incurred the debt, I thought this was my ignorance. I thought I was getting Pell Grants, Brenda, but I didn't know they were loans. Again, now the system is totally different. The transparency is very different. So anyway, I didn't initially know I had incurred that much debt. So I ended up in a position where I had to do something to repay that debt. I didn't have a lot of credit card debt, thankfully, but I did have the student loan debt. So one of the things that I did, because I actually defaulted on the initial loans, again, not knowing, and because my scholarships were sort of tied to not having any defaults of loans, I couldn't get my scholarship back. I had to leave school. I ended up going to work for a law firm, and I said, what I'll strategize is I'll do the 401k match. They'll, you know, I'll put in as much as I can, and they matched it. So I was able to, over 2 years, work and get the money and, you know, take the 10% penalty from, you know, taking out the 401k early so that I could pay off that student loan debt, and then I could get my scholarship back and go to school. But once I went to school the second time, of course, I incurred, you know, debt. And, you know, everybody used to call it good debt. Now Susie Orman doesn't call student loan debt good debt anymore. But anyway, so I said, wow, I've got all this debt, and I did know it was going to be debt at that point, but I thought, you know, I'll get out and get a good job. I had a master's degree at that by then. I went to Sarah Lawrence College in New York, Marvelous Experience. But I had this, I mean, a lot of debt, over almost $80,000. So I said, well, gosh, I sort of need a plan, but, you know, I was getting these harassing calls from the student loan companies, and, I mean, they were horrible, and this is 15 years ago. Again, the rules, and thankfully, Brenda, the laws have changed. You can't have that level of harassment, but they were ruthless. They were vigorous, and they were almost every day to the point I actually considered committing suicide. I thought I must be, you know, it was kind of like the movie It's a Wonderful Life, you know. Mm-hmm. I thought, God, well, maybe I'm more dead than alive because they make me feel like I am worthless. But thankfully, I had some support around me, Dark Night of the Soul. And for some reason, Brenda, believe it or not, this idea came to me that I should purchase a home, and that would be the way that I would be able to get out of this debt. And anybody on the outside might have been thinking this is crazy, but I figured, hey, this energy or this thought was so powerful, I decided to pursue it. Long story short, I was able to purchase a home, and then I was able to sell the home 4 months before the real estate crash and basically doubled my investment, and I was able to pay off that debt, you know, in that way. Thankfully, but I had lived without credit cards. I made that decision. This was almost 17 years ago, and I've never looked back. I consider it to be now, I understand, I'm fiscally responsible. I am fiscally sensitive to the flow, the ebb and flow, and completely grateful for my newfound understanding and knowledge of that ebb and flow of how the exchange of commerce, because it is an exchange of energy between myself and, you know, the societal forces and energy, and so how to keep that door really flowing. And so to me, debt stops that flow.
That's great. I love that, that about the ebb and flow and about the energy and freeing up the energy. And that's part of why we give and our philanthropic and ties to the organizations we care about, because that does create flow. As you give, it comes back. And so many times when people are worried about money, they just hold on to it tighter, and they don't give to charity, and yet they'll still find a way to, you know, eat out or spend money on things they like or whatever. But as we give to those charities and those groups that feed our souls, whether it's a community of faith or whatever, you know, that's helping that flow keep going in our life. I want to talk about also another significant point in your life that you had to overcome, cope with, find, you know, dig deep to find your place of resiliency. And that was with your diagnosis of breast cancer and and also subsequently losing your mother the following year. So tell us about that. That in itself is a whole big story about, you know, finding out, you know, the diagnosis and the whole treatment phase.
Yeah.
You know, what was going through your mind? You had just sold this house.
Well,
you were out of debt. You were, you know, probably for a short period of time pretty happy. And then I was.
You laid it out. It feels like you were sitting on the couch with me, Brenda. you just laid it out so marvelously, truthfully. I remember when I got the diagnosis, I thought, wait a minute, I am in the best physical shape of my life because I had been trained for the marathon, you know. I was just like a racehorse, you know. I was just in great physical shape. I was released from the stress, you know. I was out of debt then, and so, you know. So anyway, I said, oh, well, you know what, I'll just schedule and get the procedure and I'll just keep it moving. That was my reaction to me. But it was really once my mother was diagnosed and then within a year had passed away from breast cancer, that's when the rock hit me. That's when I questioned everything, everybody, you know. For those of you who are listening and you are people of faith, I questioned God. You know, if you, you know, I did the classic, if you were really there, God, why would you, you know, and then I went down my list and I made it about me and so on and so forth. And I just got a little emotional thing twinned in there, because what really was the lesson for me out of all of that was that I needed, this was an opportunity for me to do the high-level healing and forgiveness that I was unwilling to do while my mother was alive. So in my dark night of soul,
I want to take a moment to pause on that, because that's something I have goosebumps right now, and I had goosebumps when I was reading in your bio that about, you know, honoring your mother's life by learning to trust life and live again and to live life well, because it was through the loss of my mother in a car crash that was my, you know, turning point in my life as well, where, you know, I realized, A, I could have died, just like you said. You could have died from the breast cancer, but you survived, and we're here for a bigger purpose. What is our bigger purpose? But that my mother's life was not lived in vain, that my mother's life, I wanted to honor her life and be the best I could be and thrive, not just survive. So talk about that time period. So you got your diagnosis. So you were in remission when she...
I was. I was very
sick.
I mean, I was still fresh, you know, really. I'd had my surgery because I ended up having a mastectomy. And I had that surgery, and she actually called and told me her diagnosis while I was still, you know, recuperating from my surgery. So, you know, needless to say, but I'm thinking, you know, she's going to be like me. We're going to get through this, and, you know, this will be our next level mother-daughter bond and memory and so on. But it did not turn out like that for her. She, you know, she had a much more aggressive form of breast cancer, and we were able to spend really wonderful quality time together, and I'm so grateful here in this season of moving into Thanksgiving, and which we sort of designate, you know, we always ought to be thankful and grateful, but here we are moving into a season where we really get to pay special attention to that. So I am still to this day so grateful that we had fun and we connected at a really higher level, you know, as she was coming to the end of her life. But after I got over my temper tantrum, which was the whole why me, why would you take her, and so on, and I was able to get quiet enough and real enough with myself to say, what's the bigger purpose? It's clearly my little two-week episode of, you know, making everything about Denise needed to come to an end. And so once I looked at, you know, what am I really called to do, that's when I conceived the business that I run now, which is helping women entrepreneurs to live a life of financial freedom, personal and professional success, and create generational wealth. Again, and that obviously really comes from, you know, how I lived and what my mother was able to do and was not able to do for us. So that became my, you know, it became the wind beneath my wings, if you will. But I want to say this really clearly. What I did realize was this was my time to accept the baton of healing and forgiveness that I wouldn't, I was reluctant to do when my mother was alive because she was my buffer. But now that she had passed on, there was my father who had always been in our lives, but, you know, because he and my mother had divorced, they just, they never healed that, you know, that disconnect. So we, the kids, you know, we had carried that all those years. And in my heart, Brenda, I knew I wanted a really deep, connected, and powerful energy with my father, but I was always reluctant to do it while my mother was alive. So here was my chance, and I got to decide, do I want to take that baton and figure it out, or do I want to continue to resist it?
Wow, that's powerful, and that's one of the topics that I love talking about and reading and studying about is forgiveness, as I've had to implement and practice that in my life as well with my father. Because my mother left my dad too. He was emotionally abusive, not physically abusive. And, you know, I think that whether they're living or not living, we can all practice the principles of forgiveness towards a parent or towards someone that has harmed us in the past. And that's something I really wanted to talk today with you a little bit more about. How did you get to that place? Where and how did you express it? And so, what was it like before with him? And what is it like now? Is he still living?
He is still living. He is my number one hero. He is my undercover manager. He is the cheerleader of all cheerleaders. We have a two peas in a pod kind of relationship. My nickname for him is Papa Stoppa, and like all my Facebook friends, like want to meet him and love him. Because he's on Facebook, and we are so free. We share our love and generosity towards one another freely on Facebook, and people gravitate towards it and say, oh, my God, I want to meet your dad. And that makes my heart so warm, Brenda, because I remember what it used to be like. I remember when there was this abject disconnect, sometimes even scorn, sometimes even hate, sometimes disappointment. Sometimes, you know, I sort of projected on myself what I thought he must be thinking as why he wouldn't call me so often. He must not like me. You know how that story can start, right? And some of your listeners, well, it must be me, you know, and that affected my sense of worth. I remember what it used to be like, which is what helps me to celebrate and honor and be grateful for what we have created today.
So what's your advice to women that are, you know, have a past relationship with, you know, let's just say most likely it's a man, but, it, you know, either had been in an abusive relationship with that person or a parent. Where does the forgiveness process start? What are some, like, basic first steps?
I'll share a little bit about this. Actually goes into some of the content in the book, which is a 365-day guide, and it's full of these prompts and positive and power-filled thoughts to help you really look at your life, not through a rose-colored lens, but from a space of truth, integrity, honesty, and authenticity. And so those are some of the things I had to be. So the work was on me first. I had to get into, well, what's my integrity here? Is it self-centered? Is it communal, meaning the camaraderie of growth for both of us? I had to get real and honest about what were my real goals here, you know? And then I had to begin to do the work. And one of my Mindset Mojo messages that I created talks about, do you want to be held hostage to your own transgressions, or do you want others to celebrate your growth?
Mm.
And I had to sit with that, because what I realized I was doing, Brenda, was I was eternally holding my father hostage to a set of transgressions that were gone. They had already passed. And so out of that, I also created this Mindset Mojo, which is I release the past and I live in the new now.
I love that.
These are simple statements, but they are so powerful when you actually sit with it and decide to own it and live that truth. But
fantastic.
It wasn't easy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I release the past and I live in the new now.
I live in the new now. That's a great one. And we are going to take a short station of identification and come back. I want you to read today's. I guess if there's 365, there's one for each day. And so we'll read today's, and we're going to continue talking with Denise J. Hart, the author of Mindset Mojo, 365 Powerful Thoughts to Change Your Life, to change your mindset and transform your life. And that's a new go-to guide for women who want to thrive. And fantastic. So good stuff. We'll be right back in less than a minute. Stay with us. You're listening to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser. We'll be right back.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki-infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
Are you tired of the abuse? Trying to recover after rape or other sexual violence? Are you worried about a friend or a family member? Safe Connections is here for you in the greater St. Louis metropolitan area. We work to reduce the impact and incidence of domestic violence and sexual assault. Access referrals, resources, and most of all, compassionate support through our 24-hour crisis helpline. No cost. Call us anytime at 314-531-2003. That's 314-531-2003.
Welcome back. We're talking with Denise J. Hart, author of Mindset Mojo, 365 Power Thoughts to Change Your mindset and transform your life. We met at a Lisa Nichols training in May out in San Diego called Speak and Write to Make Millions. And Denise, how has your life changed since the Lisa Nichols workshop last May? Have you been with Lisa again since then?
Yes, actually. I am a part of Lisa's, I actually made the investment to become a part of Lisa's elite entrepreneur and leadership training program called Global Leadership. So we call it GLP for short. So I actually travel to San Diego every quarter for 3 to 4, sometimes 6 days, and get training from Lisa along with the rest of her team, including Allison Bird and Susie Carter and Nicole Roberts-Jones. And so it's a phenomenal, phenomenal community, and it's wonderful having such coaches who have the years of experience and the passion and the love to help others go to their next level. So I was able to actually just teach at one of Lisa's events, which I just learned. I just had a chat with Allison before our call, our interview, that they have never invited someone from the global leadership community to teach at one of their events, and I was able to teach at Powerhouse Speakers, which just happened in San Diego.
Wow.
November 8th. It was marvelous, Brenda. I was just on cloud nine. Being invited to touch and move and inspire, you know, her community, Lisa's community, motivating the mass community through Powerhouse. So it was fantastic, and it's made a tremendous difference in both my personal life, but particularly in my professional life as I continue to grow my business and be able to serve my community at the highest level of service.
That's fantastic. So you've received not only the direct coaching and the benefit of around being around this powerful group of people quarterly, but you've also been able to take the stage and get the experience delivering the message. So what was your message that you delivered?
I did a talk. I did a training, actually, called The Code to Creativity, Helping Speakers Show Up with Authenticity.
Mm,
so it was experiential. Brenda, a lot of exercises, a lot of activities designed to strategically move speakers out of their comfort zone, to show up powerfully, to show up in a space of truth, to show up with authenticity. So it was fun. We had lots of fun breaks, and but these were all strategic activities, really to get the to get them to release, you know, to step out of something they would not normally have done, which we know speaking always involves, whether it be, you know, your delivery or whether it be your subject matter. It's to move us out of our comfort zone so that we can powerfully serve our target market and our audience.
Mm. And so moving out of your comfort zone and it's being more vulnerable and sharing personal stories and And being more heart-to-heart centered. And I saw a wonderful speaker yesterday named Lethea Owens, and she's one of my favorites. I've known her for about 9 years. And, you know, I knew her when she was first starting out, and now she's been speaking all over the world. And, you know, she, at several points in her talk, moved me to tears. And it was because her style has changed so that she is more heart-centered. And I mean, this was a small setting of, you know, 40 women in a women's power networking lunch meeting, but she tapped on, you know, some feelings that we've all had, you know, things with our mothers and, you know, going beyond what our mothers could have taught us in terms of believing in ourselves and what is possible for our lives. And one of her quotes was, it is only through your brokenness that is the bridge to the brand new you. And I love that because that is, I think, something Lisa talks about and teaches and something that you're very honest and open about. Like your bio, it's different. I get a lot of bios from people coming on the show. Most of them are your traditional, I did this in this year, I did this in that year, you know, these are the awards I've gotten. But yours was more of a story, and it involved – it involves the reader, because people want to know, well, how did this person go from being raised by a single mother on welfare to now being a tenured professor and having her own international business and being unstoppable wherever she goes. So, you know, kudos to you and to the team with Lisa Nichols and all that they have taught many women.
Can I share something with you? One of the things that, you know, I call our training, we have very high-level training. And so what I like to say is you have the opportunity to experience incremental shifts. And here's something that Lisa teaches us, which I absolutely love, and that is as a speaker in particular, you want to take the platform and you want to have nothing to prove, nothing to hide, nothing to protect, and nothing to defend. It's a tough space, though, because it requires a level of self-acceptance, owning your words, willingness to be transparent so that you open up the space for your community, step into their transparency and vulnerability, which is your greatest source of power. Because when you are able to step into that space, that means you're going to see more clearly what's next for you and create your own breakthrough.
Mm. And when you have a breakthrough, it gives everybody else permission to have their breakthrough.
You said the opposite word, Brenda, permission.
Permission, yeah. And so who are some of the other people that have influenced you? You've studied some of the masters, some of the teachings of thought leaders like Deepak Chopra, Charles Fillmore, Ilana Vincent, and Louise Hay. So pick one or two of those to tell
Love
us
Louise
how they've influenced
Hay.
You.
Oh, my God. Louise is the, you know, I hope she doesn't mind if she's listening. She's the grandmother of, for me, she's the grandmother, you know, she's the seminal teacher around aligning your thoughts with how you want to create your life. So I stumbled across, books have been good to me. Books are what opened up this new world of opportunity for me before I even decided to go to college, because, again, I went to college, undergrad, very late, and I graduated when I was 32. Of course, I was the oldest student there, but you know what? By then, I was on fire. So I said, hey. But I stumbled across her book in the library, You Can Heal Your Life. And I thought, wow, this is so different. It's in essence, it's simple, you know. Think the proper thoughts. One of my mindset mojos is right thinking creates radical results, right? So pretty much that's what Louise Hay was saying. Right thinking creates radical results. So I thought, oh, is it that easy? I mean, when you come from a life where things have been a struggle financially, you know, we moved over 13 times, you know, when I was a kid growing up. So, keeping a roof over our heads was a struggle. So when you lived in that kind of energy, Brenda, stumbling across a book that sounds so kind of Pollyanna, I'm reading it, but the other half of me is suspect. You know, it's suspicious. Like, oh, she's had a different life. That's why she can say these things. So I had to do a lot of internal work. And so I just started to consume Louise, and then Louise's teaching led me to other works that I began to study, and I studied the law of attraction. I studied the seminal works like the Master Key System, the Science of Getting Rich, which were all the books that actually spurred the creation of The Secret. So I studied them, and then I went on to teach the content in those books. So I really saturated myself with this philosophy that I am the co-creator of my very existence here on Earth, and once I can move my thoughts into the proper alignment, everything is possible.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yes, the philosophy has changed my life as well, and I love the Master Key System and studying that, and also Ogmandino and his books, The Greatest Salesman especially. And so there's some wonderful stuff out there now with, you know, people can listen to them in their car on CDs or download podcasts or Kindle, you know. So I always encourage people to feed your mind with positive messaging, because our mind will tend to go towards the negative thoughts and the the old repetitive thought patterns that is basically an old blueprint that will keep us stuck, and we have to reprogram that constantly with positive input. So what do you do on a daily basis to keep yourself motivated and inspired?
Sure. The first thing I do every day is I meditate. It's like breakfast for my heart, soul, and mind.
I love that.
I meditate. I meditate and center myself, you know. I show thanks and appreciation that I had the proper hours of sleep and regeneration while I was in slumber. You know, I truly go there. Like, I'm like, yes, you know. And then I thank and show support to myself for what I'm going to enter into for the next day, what lessons I might learn, who I might be of support to, who might be a support to me. So that's my practice, and it keeps me focused, centered, in alignment, connected. You know, I feel full. Lisa loves to say we shouldn't be serving from a full cup. We should be serving from our overflow. So meditation, my practice, is one way that I feed myself so that I feel my overflow is constant. I also use my own teachings through my daily Mindset Mojo. I receive them, you know, people can receive them electronically. They can sign up at www.365daysofmindsetmojo, and you can get an email every day with a daily Mindset Mojo, and I get them. So I'm just like everybody else who tells me I can't wait to get to my, you know, device, my electronic device or my computer or my mobile phone, so that I can see what's the message for today, right? And so I'm going to share one which I feel is very power-filled, and it's this. If you're too busy or too tired to strengthen the skills you need for your personal development, don't blame someone else for the negative outcomes in your life. So someone got that, you know, and people will send me their message and say things like, that one was an ouch. You know, when we say that one was an ouch, that means that one was for me. That triggered in me what I know I should be doing, because I've been there before. I'm not speaking from the mountaintop. I'm speaking from being the boots on the ground with everybody else. I know what it means to be blaming other people or an outside situation for what really should be something I should be doing within my own personal development. So I necessarily didn't write the book as much as the book wrote me. You know, each message came to me as a demonstration. I just got a message on Facebook this morning, a young lady who I had worked with over 2 years ago, because the messages also come as T-shirts. She took a photo image of her T-shirt and posted it on Facebook and said a little note about how 2 years ago she bought that T-shirt with a Mindset Mojo message of this: when your life no longer fits, change it. And she talked about how she's 2 years now later coming back to that Mindset Mojo because she needs it right now. And she took a picture of it, Brenda, and she's now declaring it. And she went on to say how she realizes that that's always a good choice. And that made me feel really good to be servicing her 2 years later, and she's back into that. So I use my own Mindset Mojo messages. I meditate on them. I always recommend you don't need to spend a long time. Take the message in, read it, focus in on it for 60 seconds, and then go on about your day, you know, go on about living your day. And then I believe every day I live from service. How can I serve others? How can I serve my clients? How can I serve your listeners as we're on this call having this wonderful experience? So I live from, I call it the highest level, highest honor is to live from service to others.
Wow, I love that. And so people can find you on Facebook and under Denise J. Hart, but also your Twitter handle, Motivation Mama.
Motivation Mama. That's where I started. I started on Twitter in beta when Twitter, first came out, and that was the name, that I created for myself back then. And I just have been ever reluctant to change it, as my branding changed. So I've just kept it, Motivation Mama.
Well, it works. And for 5 years, you've been sending out positive messaging and blogging also on forharriet.com. Tell us a little bit about that blog and how people can find you there.
For Harriet, I have been a weekly contributor to For Harriet. It's a really wonderful community, primarily an African-American audience, and it really speaks to how do you continue to up-level, transform your life, whether it be personally or professionally. So I write in both lanes there. I've written about vulnerability, forgiveness. I've written about how to maintain, the momentum in your business, how to create a CEO mindset as an entrepreneur and those kinds of things. But it's a really vast community, too. So if any of your listeners are interested, I recommend you become on Facebook, a part of the community at www.forharriet.com. And it's named after a historic, legendary African-American, Harriet Tubman, who was so instrumental in, helping slaves to, seek their freedom during that time. So
I was going to ask you who was named after, and then because I was thinking, what's Harriet? But then when you said Harriet Tubman, I'm like, oh, my gosh, how did I not realize that? I love Harriet Tubman, and I love that there's also a Facebook page for the listeners. It's under facebook.com/forharriet. So I'm going to suggest that to a lot of my friends as well. And so you're blogging there, and what are you also working on? Now tell us, we didn't even talk about your full-time profession as a tenured professor. How's that going, and when do you have time?
Everybody asks me that. That's so funny. I have a very structured, organized life, and as a tenured professor, you don't put in as much time as, when you're a junior professor. So that gives me that flexibility to have a diverse career. And really, at the end of the day, Brenda, everything that I do, I'm doing it from the same mission or the same purpose, which is to be a service agent to others so that they can live their life at their next level. That's it. I'm doing that when I'm at my tenured professorship. I'm doing that when I'm working with my clients through the Momentum Institute, the women. It's coming from the same source, so that way there's no conflict. I'm in total integrity, whether, I'm in that environment or the other. But I love my work with the student population. They have taught me so much about growing my humanity, and I appreciate them for allowing me to pour into them with my expertise. I'm the same in every space too, Brenda. I believe in doing the work. I believe in walking the walk, don't just talk the talk. So the same way I am with my student population at Howard University, I am the same way with my clients. I always say I give a little bit of a kick in the pants, but for real, it's not little. It's a good, hard, come on. I don't want people to perform at 25% or 35%. I want you to take a leap, and if you know you have the capacity to be performing at 60%, let's create those milestones so that you can get there and live there for a season, right? We've all experienced it, and that's the beauty of working with that student population, because they got 4 years, and we need to see the trajectory from the first year to the fourth year, and you really get to see the application take place. So it gives me great joy.
We didn't even touch upon that your area of expertise, one of your many areas, is playwriting, and that you had performed as in the D.C. area. I just have to smile because, our paths could have even crossed there at Arena Stage. Oh, my goodness. I lived in D.C. in 84 to 98, and I was working at Arena Stage. I can't believe it. And Woolly Mammoth Theater. I used to go there all the time, and the Source Theater.
That's remarkable.
I know.
Well, see,
so I was very involved in the theater industry, more of the front of house, and worked at the University of Maryland at Toss Theater for 4 years and their box office.
Oh, wow.
So I love theater, and so you have a lot of amazing theater credits and TV credits in HBO TV drama series, The Wire. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that until I read your...
So that's why, you know, my bio reads more like a story, because I am coming from a story. I have a story expertise with writing and acting, you know, and performance. It's storytelling. So I definitely bring that quality also when I work with clients, whether it's through branding or marketing, that it's the story, as you already have said, is what captivates people. So if you're speaking, we want the story to be active and honest. We can't make up stories because, you know, we're talking about real people. But, yeah, absolutely. That is such a fun fact for you.
And so on your teaching with clients, are you doing any webinars, or how can people find you if they want to work with you?
Well, I work with folks in a series of ways. I absolutely do one-on-one coaching, and that's something that I adore because I love to be right there in the space and in the active energy. And I do offer group coaching through my Momentum Business Coaching. That's small group coaching. It's a six-month program. Those the details are available at our website, www.MomentumInstituteForWomen.com. And we have something so dynamic, Brenda, super yummy and exciting. We're hosting our Reinvention is Sexy entrepreneur training. We're doing a tour. We're starting in D.C. on February 15th, and that's a full-day intensive of entrepreneur training, and we're covering what we call the Big Five: sales, marketing, branding, speaking, and CEO mindset. So it's small groups, up to 25 women, very intimate. The fingerprint is intimate, authenticity, knowledge, and we want you to have real growth and real action. It's a 7-hour day, so it's an intensive, and we want you to walk away with things that you're going to be able to do to completely reinvent your business in a short amount of time. And so folks can visit or sign up at www.reinventionissexy.com. The pre-registration is open right now, and it's going to be a ball. So it'll be me teaching along with my operations manager. Her name is Hope. And then we have invited other seasoned guest experts and coaches who will join us on the platform teaching from their area of expertise. Plus, we're going to have fun because I just don't do anything without having some fun, right?
Fantastic, fantastic. And are you planning that on taking that on the road or coming to other cities?
Yes, we are. We're going to be on tour. We had a voting. We had the community voted, and we're doing three cities. So we'll be doing New York in June. We'll be in Philadelphia in July, and we'll be in Kansas City in August.
Oh, my goodness. It's Kansas City in August. Well, that's the one I'll have to get involved with and help you with, because that's about 3 hours from St. Louis, hours from St. Louis. Yeah, that's on the western side of the state. I'm on the eastern side, but definitely it's within driving distance, and we'll definitely do whatever we can to help you and bring ladies out from the eastern side of the state.
Well, small groups, you know, so I always say, everybody, don't wait too late, because 25 seats goes really fast, and you just don't, you know, nobody wants to be standing on the other side of the window looking in and hope, you know, can you get me in? Can you get me in, you know?
Right. And are you planning to write more books, or is this it?
I am. Out of the Reinvention is Sexy tour, I'm actually gathering case studies and just my own experiences, because I intend to write what I'm calling the Reinvention is Sexy Entrepreneur Training Guide.
Ah, I see. So what you teach in person will be wrapped up in a nice book. And what's your target date for that?
Well, the tour ends November the 14th. Our last date in 2014 is November 8th. So from there, you know, but I'll, of course, all through the tour be doing my data gathering and so on. So I haven't really created a target date, but in 2015, definitely. So.
Well, you have no shortage of great projects that you're working on, and we wish you all the best. And Any closing thoughts or quotes? And I did want to end with a moment of silence on this anniversary day in memory of JFK. But closing thoughts or quotes for us to take with us this weekend?
Sure. And just thank you too, Brenda, for inviting me to share and to learn from you and to pour into your listeners who valued you. And I really appreciate you inviting me. I want to leave everyone with this, and it's one of my mindset mojos. It's one of my favorite ones, and it's your mindset is the most important operating system in your life or business. Don't take it lightly. Do whatever you need to do to keep your mindset flowing strong, going positive, and full of power.
Like that just settles in. So we'll encourage folks to get your daily inspiration on your website, the 365. Tell us that website
Days
one last time.
www.365daysofmindsetmojo.com.
Okay, 365daysofmindsetmojo.com. Get your motivation every day for free from Denise J. Hart. Thank you so much. We're going to close out the program with a moment of silence and Yo-Yo Ma playing a selection of Bach. So thanks, everyone, and prayers of blessings for all we have in our life today.
Thank you.